Hey, what's going on, everybody?
I'm back. You're listening to Seggy Station. It's the man with a nickname, always allowed to say with no shame. It's been a while. Got Rich Hot Takes Letty coming through today on the FaceTime. Ton to get to in the world of sports. A lot going on in the world, obviously, with the election this past week. World of sports has been popping off, and positive tests in the world of sports has definitely still been a thing. A lot to get to in the world of sports today, particularly in the NBA, the NFL. Masters week, as it's been postponed for about 7 months now. Officially haven't made it to the PGA Tour. Masters week, where all of us golf fans can enjoy Augusta National. Different time of the year. Obviously, unprecedented times in this country. Still should be a fire tournament to watch, and I'm looking forward to catching it this week. Thursday, first round, ESPN. But I definitely got to get into the NBA first. Rich Hot Takes Letty is here. Looking forward to linking up with him. Haven't done this in a while. Right now, it's time for Straight Talk. Brought to you by Seggy Straight Talk Microphone. It's always direct. Time to reflect. Got a new phone, so the setup's a little bit different. Be interesting to see if this even works. Been a weird couple weeks for me. Not only personally, but obviously for everybody. And with everything with the election and sports, it's been absolutely wild. Rich, what's good, dude? How you doing, man?
What's going on? I'm doing well. I meant to ask you before we went live, actually, but I'll start it off with it. Did you see that shot today across the water, the hole-in-one in golf?
I did not. No, I've been... Dude, this is the thing. Like, I'll get a podcast. Like, I haven't done this in a while, so, like, I'll get everything together, organize, like, have, like, a whatever, a quote-unquote show set up. Bro, I'll do that, and then two hours will go by, like, I'm waiting for you to come on, and I can do a whole new thing.
Yep.
I can literally do a whole new show. And not only with that, but just everything going on with the election, and it's like, I don't even follow that as much as people do, but, like, that was a big thing. Obviously, it took, like, a bunch of, extra days, and obviously with the COVID, it's messing everything up. I mean, but I feel like the election got done pretty well considering the circumstances. I'd also ask you this, like, with everybody obviously up in arms with how it was gonna end up, I think the NBA, I think some of the NFL players, I think the NBA, I think my general statement here is that the sports world definitely impacted this vote, and you had more dudes, not only in the NBA, but in the NFL and in the sports world, that got out and vote, that made their voice heard to have people go out and vote. I think more people voted because of that. And I can honestly say that I think that's historic, man. I think regardless of the result and how anyone feels about the result, I think you'd be definitely leaving out the fact that this sports world impacted this election.
For sure. I mean, it's why we've touched on it in some other things. It's why some people have felt they want to stop watching sports or it's too much. But, I mean, hey, the message got across, it looks like. People went out and voted. And, I mean, the message was, like, it wasn't like they were telling you who to vote for. If you read between the lines, it was pretty clear who most organizations wanted you to vote for. But even other sports leagues like the NFL and MLB, their message was just to vote. And, I mean, like, hey, it doesn't look like Donald Trump is winning, but Donald Trump is going to get the second most votes anyone's ever gotten. Joe Biden is just going to have the most votes anyone's ever gotten. So more people voting than ever before, which is crazy. I'm happy with how it turned out, I guess.
I think that was something that we tried to stress, honestly, something at least I tried to stress. At least vote. Just get everybody out to vote. And the more votes you have, at least you can have a say in the actual thing rather than people not voting and then complaining about it, you know? So I think that was more important to see. And yeah, I'd say this about the result, man. I'm happy with the result as well. I think most of us are, if you're not on the whole Trump supporter bandwagon, right? I mean, but here's my thing. So this kind of bleeds into where I wanted to start the pod, because, you know, Joe, I think, I don't know exactly how this went down. Like, did Joe Biden win the election on Saturday? Like, can you confirm this for me? Because I'm a little bit out of touch with, like, everything going on.
There's technically still states who haven't, like, counted 100% of the votes. But, I mean, Joe Biden has more popular votes if you're just counting, like, who people put on their ballots. But that's not how we elect a president. We elect a president by electoral votes, which certain different states have different numbers of electoral votes. So, like, Pennsylvania, California, Texas are, like, more important states to win. When you get to 270 electoral votes, you win the election.
Yep.
Joe Biden is projected well above 270. I mean, like, they already technically announced that he would be the next president, but I think there's still a few things left to be. I don't know, cross some T's, dot some I's, but all right. he's going to be the next president.
So it's going to take a second to transition to get him in. So I can't give him as much flack for what happened this weekend when he got elected. Okay, yeah. So here's my start. So the main thing was, I think you said you watched the game, the Clemson-Notre Dame game. It was a double overtime thriller, number one, Clemson, without Trevor Lawrence. Let me also tell you he was out due to the coronavirus. Let me also tell you he was on the sideline. Now, I'm a little bit stunned that he's allowed to be on the sideline but not playing the game. You know, you see it in the NFL where some guys are allowed to play if they're deemed close contact, but if you test positive, you're probably not allowed to play. But, like, the man tested positive. He was on a 10-day quarantine. If the 10 days were up and he's on the sideline, why isn't he allowed to play? Moral of the story, he didn't play. The dude that replaced him, DJ Uiagalelei, I don't even know how to say his last name. I'm not going to try. Had a fantastic game. 40 points. I mean, everyone's talking like, oh, man, Clemson, they lost the game because Trevor Lawrence wasn't there. Dude, the dude scored 40 points. Can your defense stop anybody? Like, this is my thing with college football. Just enormous scores every single big game. Just through the roof. No defense. No defense. And you wonder why some of these quarterbacks struggle, i.e. Daniel Jones, when they get into the fucking pros. Because they go up against scrub defenses. Anyways, the game ends. An absolute thriller in college football if you like it. Good game. Check it out. Big upset. Shaking up the polls. But after the game, did you see LeBron James, his tweet? LeBron James says, wow, we can't have anybody at our games, but y'all can rush the field. And let me just tell you, Rich, I think that one of the main pitches for me to vote for Joe Biden was this man was going to take the coronavirus a little more seriously. If he's going to be in president, he cannot allow that shit to happen. He needs to step in right now because the NCAA won't. We've talked about it many times on our pod. The president needs to step in and say that stuff right there is not allowed. Because to me, that stuff right there is what could actually blow up college football, which is an absolute fucking mess right now, and sports in general, with a global pandemic still going on. This man better step in and do something about shit like that happening. That's what I have to say.
I agree. The tough part is he's not the president until February, so he can't pass any executive orders on his own or anything like that. So Donald, like, that's like the dangerous part about Donald Trump being in office the next whatever it is, 3 months. Like, he could still pass executive orders. Like, he's still the president. Like, that man could go out kicking and screaming and fuck some shit up on the way out. So Joe Biden's like said,
like he already is right now, but yeah, go ahead.
Joe Biden said that's his number one priority. Like, he's put together a task force to start like working on the,
it better be
work. There's a company, I forget the name of the company, but a company said yesterday that they have like a vaccine like 90% of the way there ready to go. So like, that's going to be his number one priority. I mean, I'd imagine there's, he could do a good bit, like, as someone who's been in office for a long time, but there's only so much power he has until February when he's actually the president and can, like, pass executive orders and stuff like that.
Okay, I'll give it to him on that, too. But, like, do you hear my problem now? So we're, the next 2 and 3 months is when this is going to be bad. So the next 2 or 3 months, you're just going to allow college fans to rush the stands. And you're going to have NBA fans in this, like, in or not in the stands. Because I saw some things with the NBA having suites open, but not fans actually there. You know what's going on with the NFL? It's so fucked up, dude. Like, can we just have sports, like, without any fans right now, which is not, large gatherings are not allowed right now. Like, can we just have that, at least have sports, rather than jeopardizing it? Because in my opinion, you don't have positive tests flopping up in the SEC or the Big Ten or in the NFL, as rapid as they are, in my opinion, without fans there. It just adds more risk for the virus to be around. Why do that? To make money? Like, everyone's losing money right now. Every single fucking person is losing money right now. Besides the delivery guy. And it's just bullshit, man. And to me, it's selfish. And I think it's going to mess up things with college football, dude. I really do. Because before we get into the NBA stuff, like, mindless of them rushing the field, they had 10 FBS games canceled this past weekend. Who knows how many are going to get canceled this weekend? LSU, Alabama... Man. Is on up in the air. You got Texas A&M up in the air, number 5. You got Notre Dame that is going to have to now have mandatory testing. They're number 4 team in the country. Who knows what's going to happen with them? You got a couple other teams. I'm on you. The Pac-12, they started this weekend, was their opening weekend. Two opening games had to get canceled. You got the Big Ten with Wisconsin, who has a team up there in the rankings, now looking to return to play after pausing activities for 2 weeks. Auburn pausing activities. The list goes on and on, Rich. You got some games that are able to go on. You got some teams that are clear from the virus. But most teams around the country in terms of college football are getting impacted. And there's no other reason than the NCAA. I'm listening to this dude from the SEC, Greg Sankey. I think he's the commissioner. I can't even believe this guy. Some of the shit he's saying. I wish I had the recording because it just doesn't make any sense. He's like, oh, yeah, we could have expected this. You know, we just have to get there. Like, what? No, you could have done a lot of things differently, in my opinion, to have the college football season run a little more smoothly and have less positive tests. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, it's just a bad look having all those people rush the field. It's kind of like mob mentality. Like, you got to believe. Like, I couldn't believe. At first, I didn't notice anything weird about it because it seemed like shit was just normal. And then I was watching with Lisa, my girlfriend. She's like, oh, wow, like they're all just rushing the field. I was like, oh, holy shit. Yeah, what are they doing? Like, I can't believe so many people are doing that. Like, I got to imagine if I was at the game and everyone's rushing the field, I'm like, I got to imagine you're drinking. But I'm like 99.9% sure I'd be like, I'm not running down there and jumping at everyone right now.
Rich, I got over that portion of the thing already, but I'm glad you tuned in on that. Richie Gotts of the pod. This is what I'm asking you right now. You might have Alabama, who's the number one team in the country. Notre Dame is number four in the country. Number five is Texas A&M. They're up in the air this week. LSU, they suck this year. They're not even ranked, but they're obviously a big-time game playing in a big-time game against Alabama. The SEC is set up December 12th as a week where they can fill in some games that they need to be moved and postponed. They're already filling in games there. So my question to you is, how is this going to work when Bama can't play this week or whatever it is? And you got a number four team and a five and a one team and whatever it is, top five ranked teams in the country not playing games. Like, you're telling me if Alabama, who's number one in the country, doesn't play a game this week, are they still number one in your eyes next week in the rankings if they can't play a game this week? If Notre Dame goes out and wins,
You got to figure it out. It depends on the other matchups, but I think no matter what happens, like for better or worse, the season's going to happen. They're just going to keep pushing it back as far as they need to. And like, that's not the convenient way to do it, but it comes back to the same thing as every time. They're going to be like, we already put so much money and time into starting it and getting it here. We're not just going to call it 10 games into the season. Like, they're going to make sure everyone's good to go and able to play during whenever they have the bowl games, but I think they'll just push it back if they need to.
I don't think you're understanding me. The Pac-12 just started last week. They're supposed to play a 6-game schedule. Like a team like Keyshawn Johnson, USC, right? They had an unbelievable – they scored two touchdowns in 90 seconds. Say they go 6-0. Do they get in? Would you even consider them in the playoffs 6-0? With teams up here at like 8-0 and 8-1. Two more games more. This is the problem, dude. This is the problem.
Okay, let me answer your question very directly. This is why I don't watch college football. I don't know. This is stupid.
Yeah.
This is why if you're going to do something, you start it all at the same time, not different people at different times. Like, no, I don't know.
I hear you, but that's what college football is doing right now. Starting shit at different times, trying to end it at the same time, trying to have games when you got major outbreaks all over the joint. It's I don't understand it, man. And to me, if you're a fan of one of these teams that's number four, top four, that's projected to make this playoff, I mean, dude, that right there is not necessarily even going to happen, in my opinion. Like, the things going on right now with college football, I'd be stunned if you make it to your playoff with how it's going.
Yeah.
I really would. And I think the people that are more involved in the college football need to be a little bit more on that side. Maybe they'll stop rushing the field. Maybe they'll stop, like, or wear their mask and social distance a little more to have college football last a little longer. Because I don't see a lot of that happening in college football stadiums. And I don't see college football with the protocols in some of these other professional sporting leagues that have things a little bit more under control with this virus. Not nearly completely, though. They're not the NBA. They're not in the bubble. And here's a good transition, because now we need to get into some of the NBA. Because the NBA has announced that they're going to have their 72-game season starting on December 22nd. So, you were wrong. I was technically wrong, because now that I think about it, I never even said I was one way or the other. I just asked you and then kind of gave like a half-assed response take, which is not normally not my style. I wasn't surprised with this happening, but I wish I actually said they were going to start on the 22nd. I could have been a little more fire on the take. Anyways, the NBA is going to start on the 22nd. And there's a lot of NBA health officials that are talking about the traveling and conditioning and bubble teams returning so quickly and all the things that are going to go along with that, including the virus. They're definitely worried, obviously, the NBA health officials. And obviously for the NBA, this move, we talked about it on the podcast, is about making a lot of this money back. And the NBA announcing that the salary cap and things like that for some teams will remain the same for this season, something that wasn't really projected with all the losses this past season due to the virus.
Well, and one of the big things...
Go ahead.
I was going to say, one of the big things with that is a lot of people are still hoping it goes up. Like, I have a few notes on some of the stuff that was happening there. So it's staying at $109 million. But it hurts teams like, I don't know if you saw this, but there's potential of like Gordon Hayward opting out of his contract. Like a team like the Celtics would get absolutely screwed if he opted out because they'd be losing him. And people are like, oh, well, that's $34 million you're making back. But the salary cap didn't go up. So they still wouldn't be able to sign anyone because the salary cap isn't going up. So they're still over the salary cap. So like teams that have players opt out still might not be able to sign people and replace them because usually that salary cap's going up. The only teams that are expected to have like $20 million plus dollars going into free agency, and that's not even max contract, but $20 million plus are the Hawks, Pistons, Hornets, Heat, Pelicans, and Raptors. So only six teams are expected to have $20 million plus. So it's going to be interesting. A few of those teams have guys that they might re-sign. The Raptors might re-sign Van Fleet. Heat might re-sign Dragic. Pelicans might re-sign Ingram. So only teams with like real money this offseason might end up being Hawks, Pistons, and Pelicans, or Hawks, Pistons, and Raptors. Yeah, like it's gonna be an interesting offseason. Not as much money out there.
Yeah, but I guess my point with this whole segment is the NBA is kind of pushing this to get the money in for them, to keep the money up for the teams in terms of salary cap. But how good is this going to be for the players? And how good is this going to be for the actual league when they're not going to be in a bubble this time? And we're going to see everything that's going on with these other professional sporting leagues. And, you know, they got the NBA draft, bro, is 8 days away. 10 days from now is NBA free agency. You're going to have NBA contracts like you just talked about, opt-ins, opt-outs. You're going to have people opting out of this season for sure. You're going to have things going on with constructing a roster. And then training camp is going to start a week later, bro. So yeah. How is this going to – this is going to be – dude, you're looking at a historic offseason right now, 73 days of just an offseason for the NBA. I mean, they just crowned a champion. And yeah. I'm not saying that the turnaround isn't good for us fans, but what is this turnaround for the league and the players? What is that going to be like? I think that might be an issue, man.
I think it's totally fine, honestly. There's only – the only two teams affected by this – are like the Lakers and the Heat, honestly. The other teams basically have off the normal offseason.
Yeah, but is it a normal offseason for a guy like Lillard who literally got hurt right before his last game? Like, is he going to be healthy enough to start up the regular season and like go and be full boat? Like, I don't know. Are there guys that had some injuries in the bubble that aren't able to start the regular season because of the injury? Probably. And to me, that's not a normal offseason. So this is going to affect some teams for sure off the jump. Particularly, I think the Blazers, like, is Damian Lillard, I'm pretty sure McCollum got hurt too. Are those guys healthy to start the season? Or are they going to be coming in 10 games behind, starting 2-7 and in a hole again because those guys were hurt? That's kind of the things I'm talking about with this season starting up so quick. Same thing for the Lakers. Like, if LeBron doesn't want to play the first five games, not saying they're not going to be, you know, a powerhouse in the West, but the West is competitive. If they lose a few games because LeBron's sitting out a couple weeks, like, that could affect the standings come end of the year, come him trying to win another chip. And I think everything kind of gets shaken up again, once again, because of this virus. What I told you about last night on the party, I'll let you respond and say anything you have to after this. Every time this is why I hate doing pods sometimes. Every time I talk about anything in sports, you have to bring up COVID. You have to talk about the virus. You can't not, dude, because it's affecting everything in sports still. No doubt about it. I don't want to talk about it anymore, but you have to. You literally have to. Go ahead.
I just think LeBron's basically the exception for all this, and he's obviously one of the big voices in the NBA, but I think like he's the one where it's like, yeah, he's made, what, 10 straight, 9 straight finals runs. he was just playing. He's playing 40 minutes a game. Like, him and AD were the only guys playing, like, all season, all playoffs, that many minutes. Jimmy Butler's going to be worn out too. But I think the point is, you're like cherry picking guys who, like, it's affecting starting this early. Like, I think Lillard's going to be
back. Dude, get off those teams. Get off those two teams. I brought up the Blazers. I mean, I can look at a couple other teams, like Luka. He had a couple injuries. Porzingis is not going to be ready to go, right? Because he had some injury, his ACL scoped or whatever. He's probably not going to be ready to go. That's going to affect the Mavericks starting out a season that offseason was a little bit affected.
Of course, but, like, it just comes back to what we talked about on the last pod. Like, they have to start right now for the Olympics to get the next season back on normal starting time.
But, dude, no, I kind of countered at you with that. This is not about the Olympics, bro. Is that even a thing? Like, is that actually going to be going down 100%? I don't know. They've said it, but I don't think that's a thing.
Along with multiple things. That's one of the big things, because that's a national huge moneymaker and people are still hoping the Olympics happens. Maybe the biggest thing specifically for the NBA is just getting back on a normal season.
Yeah, Christmas games. Yeah, yeah, for sure. But still, I think, I don't know. I think it brings up a really good...
There are people that it's affecting, but I think when we have to go through and be like, oh, and this one guy, and this one guy, it's like, yeah, that's still... 99% of the guys are going to be okay, and like 1% to 2%, it's shitty for them, but you kind of... Nothing's normal right now. You got to find the path of least resistance or the easiest path, which it looks like this is.
All right. Well, then we're just going to have to wait and see. I mean, it's going to start up real quick. It's going to come out of nowhere.
They're saying trades are going to be flying around like crazy in a few days once it opens up.
Yeah,
teams
definitely.
The trade deadline was in February. Teams haven't been able to trade in like 10 months now. Like, yeah. People are going to be ready to go.
Yeah, and there's a lot of guys. There's a lot of guys, bro. Oladipo, there's a lot of good guys talked about in the trade market. Chris Paul, there's tons of stuff. So it's definitely going to be interesting. There's going to be a lot of news. You got any hot takes?
I think he's a good player, but if the Knicks give Fred VanVleet an enormous contract, I am going to be so pissed. And I think that's like the Knicks' like worst possible outcome. He's one of the only good free agents this year. If the Knicks decline some of their player options, they have enough money to sign a big guy. It would just be such a Knicks move. Ah, it would suck so much. He's a good player too, but it would just be like no one's coming to the Knicks to try and play with VanVleet, and he's not going to carry a team. So like, it would just suck.
All right, yeah, I don't think the Knicks are going to do that. I think VanVleet is not going to do that. I think VanVleet either stays with the Raptors or finds himself with a contender. I think Oladipo is similar.
There's a lot of talk about him to the Pistons. I don't know why.
Oladipo?
No, VanVleet. Sorry.
Yeah. Yeah, it'll be interesting to see where some of these free agents end up, because there's not many, like you said, and it's going to happen. It's got to happen quick, dude. Like, the trades and the free agency is going to happen quick. It's going to be like 2-3 days, 1 week. Everything's going to be ripping. And you're going to have then the draft that's going to happen right before that, 8 days from now. And I think it's one of the most up in the air drafts in recent memory, obviously, with everything going on. They say it's a deep draft, but like when I go and I look at the mock draft and I hear like Windhorst and all these guys, they're like, yeah, good luck doing a mock draft right now. Like, it's just impossible. Like, you can't even mock the first pick because you don't even know what's going down with the first pick, because there's no perennial number one pick. You don't even know if the pick's going to get traded. You might be on the money with that. And
the first two picks, you said it was crazy last time, and then in the next 2 days, it was like Warriors might trade their picks, Timberwolves might trade.
Yeah,
their
but
picks.
Here's the thing. That always happens. There's always like, oh, we're talking about trading mad picks, and then nothing ever happens, or something does happen. We just have to wait and see. 8 days away, it's virtual. And
it's very rare that the 1 and 2 teams in the teams picking 1 and 2 have players like D'Lo and Karl Anthony Towns, and the 2 has Steph Curry and Klay Thompson and Draymond Green. Like, those are teams that trading away can help them get a good player, and it makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, but like, yeah, and it does. But at the same time, for me, for the Timberwolves, it doesn't make as much sense because you're not going to be good regardless, like, in my opinion. Like, in the Western Conference.
They don't want Karl Anthony Towns to want to leave. They've just been bad for so long. Like,
yeah, but here's the thing, and I heard with like a lot of the reports is like, they want Wiseman, even if Wiseman doesn't want to play there, which is a lot of the reports, because Towns is there. And that's something that the T-Wolves would do. Draft fucking Wiseman 1. Wiseman doesn't even want to be there. He pulls an Eli Manning, and then the draft's already shaken up with the number one pick. I mean, this is what's going to potentially happen, dude. I think you're going to have somebody trade in for that pick before that happens. But, like you talked about, you're going to be riding the money. The Wolves might trade out. But, in my opinion, you either trade... I would trade Towns and take Wiseman before before doing.
You can't do that. D'Lo and Towns are boys. You just traded for D'Lo. You're going to make D'Lo annoyed. Towns is like a top 15 player, even if he hasn't won so far. Like, I think you got to try and make it work with those two. The Timberwolves have been bad for so long. You can't just rebuild again when you got a guy like that. I'd imagine the reason the Timberwolves said they might draft Wiseman is because he makes the most sense on the Warriors. I bet the Warriors are either drafting Wiseman or trading their pick. There's no other outcome. I don't think they're drafting like Edwards or Ball or anything like that. So I bet the Timberwolves want the Warriors to think they have interest in Wiseman to try and get the Warriors to like trade up with them or something like that, because the Warriors probably want Wiseman. So I bet they're just, there's no way the Timberwolves are dumb enough to actually draft Wiseman and get rid of Towns or have both of them together. That would just be so stupid. That'd be so dumb.
All right. Well, I think you're onto something with that. I think we'll have to see what the Wolves want to do with that pick and what the Warriors want to do if they want to get Wiseman. There's talks of the Hornets at 3, I believe, being very interested in Wiseman. Can they move up to number 1?
I say if the Timberwolves draft Wiseman, I say they don't make the playoffs for another 6-plus years. And if the Timberwolves draft Wiseman, then I say the Warriors definitely trade their pick.
Yeah. I'd say the draft is going to be, I don't even know, like what? You watch like the first 10 picks and then what? Like,
It's going to be, I mean, who knows if it actually is, but all like the draft people I've seen, and it makes sense because it's not a strong draft. Say it's going to be like Giannis's draft, where like Giannis's draft had Giannis, CJ McCollum, some guys where a lot of the best guys in the draft were picked like 10 through 25, and like you never thought they were going to be a big star until years later. So like they're saying, it's like you were saying, a deep draft with a lot of good people. It's just hard to identify someone from someone else. So I don't know. It'll be interesting to watch and just know years down the line who's the better player is going to be, because yeah, a lot of people saying it won't be Edwards or Ball. I doubt it's Wiseman. I mean, if I were the Warriors, I'd take him because you need a center, but like I just have little faith that a center is going to be like one of the best players in the league in a few years.
Yeah, the NBA, dude, is crazy because it was like, it was ending and I was sad, but dude, it's right here. I mean, it's right back. The action is right back with not only the draft 8 days away, free agency 2 days after that, but the season is going to be
one of the best times of year.
Yeah, it's dude, like the season's going to be cranking up. It's accelerating so quick and a lot of good news. So we'll just have to see where some of these guys end up, and you know, then we can really make some predictions on what we think is going to happen with the season. I think the season's going to be tough though, dude. I really do. I think they're going to definitely struggle with everything that's going on, like in these other leagues. And I know the NBA has been obviously high on the protocol and doing all the things to keep all of its, you know, players and faculty safe. But, dude, there's talks of, you know, keeping some teams on the East longer to limit some of their travel, keeping some teams on the West and doing that. And some of the things that they're going to try and do to make it a little bit easier with the virus. But dude, to me, that's part of the thing where then how are you gonna have a normal season? Like you're still gonna have to send teams across the country at some point. You're still gonna have to have some of these matchups at some point. And so
they said they're gonna do it like baseball schedules, kinda. So like you go like, you know, if the Pistons came to New York, they'd maybe play the Knicks, then the Nets the next night, then play another game against the Knicks 2 days later and then leave. So that they could like get everything they're doing in New York out of the way together. Like, I don't mind that. Like, kind of cool to have, like, almost mini series or stuff like that. Like, they haven't ruled that out, too. Like, maybe it would be, like, three games against two teams or something like that. Like, I don't know. But I have more faith in the end. I feel like you have been, rightfully so, pessimistic about all the organizations and getting their seasons done because we didn't know what's going to happen. About all of them, I have faith in the NBA doing it and making it fun. Like, they put something in this year. They put in the, like, the play-in game for the playoffs. Like, that was awesome. That's probably going to stick. This is before COVID, but they had, like, the new All-Star game, and it was, like, one of the best All-Star games they had in forever. So, like, I trust the NBA to, like, figure out new ways to do stuff and have it still be, like, entertaining and a good product.
Yeah, but I also trust the virus leaking in a little bit on the NBA and like how that's going to impact a shortened season, a compact season, trying to get all these things in, how long this virus leaks into the, you know, next year. I mean, this stuff's going to matter, man. You got the Toronto Raptors that have to play in a different stadium because of, you know, they're not able to play in Toronto, obviously, with the restrictions in Canada. They're playing in Nashville's Bridgestone Arena, which is going to be considered the home, temporary home for the Toronto Raptors. You got the NBA talking about having suites open to fans at 20 to 50% capacity, which is sweet. Like, you got some type of fan setting. But what type of fan setting is that? Like, bro, think about it. The suites are up on the, like, yeah, bro, how much are you paying to watch a game from there? Deadass. How much are you paying to watch a game from a suite?
All I'll say is the NBA proved once they could do it. Granted, that was in a bubble, but the NFL is making it happen right now with way more fans there, way more people on the staff there, way more players on the team there.
It's outside, and are they making it happen, dude? You got every single week, you got something coming up, literally every single week.
We're on week 10 with only like 3 games rescheduled, and they made them up, so I'd say they're making it happen, and this is less than half of the amount of people, and if it's not working and their virus starts going around, like, their number one priority is playing the games. Adam Silver just won't allow fans in the arenas, and they'll keep it moving. I'm sure if it got bad enough, like, I wouldn't be surprised if the playoffs are in a bubble again, honestly, or like the last few rounds of the playoffs are in a bubble again. If it's still a thing, then like the NBA will do what they have to do to get it right. I'm pretty sure of that. And the fact that they only need what, like, each team has 15 active players. I think they only had like 10 coaching staff numbers. Like, the fact that you only need to have like 50 total people there and all of them can be tested makes it just a lot easier than other stuff, even if it is indoors. So I think the NBA will be fine.
All right. I mean,
if they start getting full arenas of people in there, that's a problem. But I think the NBA is smarter than that, and Adam Silver wouldn't let that happen.
Yeah, I don't think they'll do that. But I definitely think they're going to try and push the envelope a little bit. And when they do that, even with everything going on, I mean, I don't know. I just see it happening in the NFL, man, and I get it. Like, the NFL is quick, dude. The NFL goes by quick. Like, week 10 comes around, and it's like, Jesus, we're already in week 10? Like, COVID or not. Like, so, yeah, you got to give the NFL credit for sure, but the NFL season tends to go by stupid fast. Like, a 72 NBA game season, in my opinion, is not going to go that fast. Like, it's going to leak, obviously, into next year, into the winter months and into the spring. Like, dude, it's going to be around.
The downside is more travel, but that's what because the NBA just has more games. The NFL is only having, you know, 16 weeks or whatever. The NBA is going for a few months, like you said. But I think that's why they're trying to stay in certain areas at once, kind of almost making it more like in the NFL where teams are only traveling once a week. It's like, all right, you are playing here for this week. You're playing here for this week, which I'm sure they'll find a way to figure it out. But there will definitely be some cases. They didn't have any cases in the bubble. There'll definitely be some cases.
Before we switch out of the NBA, I got to get some of your NFL takes. But I did want to get, if you have anything in the NBA to get into, you shoot it at me. But I did want to touch on Steve Nash. I brought this up on the pod before. Steve Nash wanted to play and use KD at all 5 positions next year as a report. Obviously, the coaching staff and KD out there in Brooklyn. Another report, yeah. Gilbert Arenas and John Wall said KD is fully back after a pickup game played via the No Chill podcast. I don't know if you listened to any of that or seen any of that.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. I think KD is going to be back full, no problem. Here we go. KD, normal KD. And I get it. He's coming off like a catastrophic injury, and he's not young, like, in terms of NBA standards, but he's not old, in my opinion, for NBA standards. He'd probably be just average. And we've seen guys like this come back before, and granted, not be as the same, but able to come back and contribute. Mainly in my, one of the main ones for me is obviously Kobe Bryant. And Kobe Bryant coming back and still able to play at his age after that catastrophic of an injury at that level, in my opinion, I'm not worried about Kevin Durant being able to do that. I'm more worried about Kyrie being able to stay healthy. If Kyrie is able to stay healthy all year round, dude, I think the Nets, no doubt about it, are going to represent the East right away. I mean, I've been telling you this since they went and got KD, and when the whole thing went with the shutdown, dude, I just wanted them to play so bad that first round and knock off the Raptors, but it didn't happen. It's all good, but it's going to happen now because KD is going to get on the court. Kyrie is going to get on the court. I don't see Brooklyn making mad moves. I think the roster that they have constructed is good enough. They bring in a guy, a new coach, new coaching staff. Everything surrounding the team is up from here. I think with everything that you're going to have with the pressure mounting, obviously for KD and Kyrie, there's going to be no bullshit, no messing around. Like, they're going to have to come out right from the jump and contribute and be up there in the standings to be able to have some clout come playoff time. And I think it's just going to rely on them obviously being healthy, but I think that's going to be a thing.
I think something happens there. Someone gets traded or moved. The last few days, they've sent multiple teams in the West are interested in Dinwiddie. They still have to re-sign Gary Harris. They still have Jared Allen and DeAndre Jordan, where it's like...
Gary Harris. You mean...
Joe Harris.
Yeah, okay. Sorry. Yep.
They still have to re-sign Joe Harris. Teams have called about Dinwiddie. I like LeVert a lot. I just don't know, because he's... I think he's best as like a... almost like a Brandon Ingram kind of guy, like point forward, ball in his hands. Like he's not, he hasn't been great in the past as like just a spot up shooter. Like I'm sure he could do that, or he could be like kind of the guy when one of KD or Kyrie's on the bench. But I feel like they could find a better fit for their team. Maybe not even, maybe the person they get back isn't even as good as Caris LeVert. Like I think Caris LeVert is better than Buddy Hield. But if they could trade for Buddy Hield, Buddy Hield might be a better player for that team for the Nets. So I don't know. I think they make some sort of move or something like that. I don't think they're as good as you are. I think they have the highest variance. Like I wouldn't be like, oh my God, how did this happen if they were the one seed in the East? But I wouldn't be shocked at all if they were the sixth seed in the East either. I'd be like, yeah, that kind of makes sense. First year all playing together.
KD, all right, Kyrie, yeah, but Water. that's not the way you're going to do it for me right here. You're either going to be on, they're going to be a one seed or going to six seed. I think you're more on the side of a six seed. Yeah,
I told you last week or whenever we potted last time that I expected them to be like a four or five seed.
All right.
It's hard to predict exactly, but I'd say like four or five.
All right, I got them top two, no doubt. No doubt. Okay. Anything else you got to cover in the NBA?
No, I'm just excited to see what every different team does here. I'm hoping the Knicks play it a little safe.
You got Depot leaving for sure.
The Pacers need to do something to mix it up there. The Pacers need to do something. The tough thing about Oladipo is I feel like his value is almost as low as it could be right now because he didn't have like a great comeback after his injury. Like it almost might be better to like hope he plays well the start of next year and trade him during the season. I don't know. It depends how bad he wants to get out of there, but I feel like his value is pretty low right now. Like 2 years ago, he was like all NBA caliber, like a stud player before he got hurt. And he just hasn't been the same since then. It's kind of what concerns me with KD too. Sometimes some of those real serious injuries take like a year to like fully get back to full speed from. So I might keep him for a little bit if I was the Pacers and then try and unload him and try and get a little more value for him. But if he wants to get out of there, I guess you got to trade him.
Yeah, I guess we'll see. I'm excited, too, to see how some of that stuff shakes out. And this week will be waiting, and next week will be really getting back into it. We'll have to cover it. Hopefully, we can link up next week. Did want to touch on some of the NFL news. And normally, I'd start with my G-men, but you're here. I got to start with the Bucks, and they got absolutely fucking shellacked. And here's the thing, man. You want to know why they got absolutely shellacked? Brady was absolutely horrendous. And this is another thing, too. I talked about them having no chance or a chance of not making the playoffs. That's still a thing. That is still a thing. And I'd also say the chance of them winning the division are definitely hurt now that they've gotten swept by the Saints in that series. And their schedule does not get light on the back end. Their schedule was light earlier on. And before I got into this, I could easily talk about how just a week earlier, if everyone's going to say my team's so fucking shitty, we lost by 2 points to your team. 2 points. And y'all barely should have won the game. I don't need to get into any of that hoopla. Got to give respect. You got the W. But you barely won the game against what? The sorry New York Giants? I don't think we're as sorry as people think. But what I will say is the Bucks are not what people think. The best team in the NFC? Super Bowl contenders? They're not, man. They're not. You want to know why? Because they play in a tough division. They have reasons to be a little bit worried in the division they're playing in. They play in not the AFC East, which is obviously Tom Brady's old division. And Tom Brady is not the same guy. He's had some games, but the teams they've lost to this year, i.e. the Chicago Bears, i.e. last night to this, or 2 nights ago to the Saints, teams that have some, the Giants giving them a tough game, teams that can able to put some pressure on Brady. Brady was pressured 19 of 41 dropbacks in that game. It was absolutely horrendous. And you see what he's done under pressure. He also was getting blown out by 30 points because everyone's saying he's got this tremendous defense and all these weapons on the offensive side of the ball that didn't really have much clout either. Like AB finally got his debut and it was all right. Yeah, he got out there, but like didn't really impact the game. So yeah, things might be able to change for this team. You know, you're incorporating AB and incorporating a new system and all these things and all these excuses. But when you play like that up against teams that are just as good as you, it just proves what's going to come down to the stretch where Brady's going to have to play a hell of a lot better than that, and I just don't see him doing that. I've seen Brady playing like this for the past couple seasons now, and I don't see him playing any better anytime soon as the season progresses and as they have to play bigger games.
I mean, I don't disagree with that, but I'll play devil's advocate in the sense that almost every good team's had that same thing happen. Like, the Steelers almost just lost to the Cowboys, which would have been pathetic. The Chiefs had the Chiefs had a tough roster like the Raiders, who are a little bit of a better team. Aaron Rodgers got humiliated by the Bucs a few nights back. The Seahawks had Russell Wilson had a tough game just this weekend. So, like, the Bucs was really bad. Like, it was really bad. But I wouldn't worry about it too much. I'd assume that.
Dude, he was 10 of 20 for 69 yards with two picks at halftime.
I watched it. It was really bad.
And, like, there's no excuses for that. Like, they're like, it's play calling, horrible play calling. Not good game management in terms of the coaching. Again, absolutely out-coached. Then you're getting outplayed by Drew Brees if you're Tom Brady. And then the defense absolutely outplayed the phenomenal Bucs defense that's Super Bowl contenders. I'm just so sick of it. They're only saying this shit because of Brady. And here's the thing. This was Brady's chance. Week 9. I've told you this on my podcast. Week 9, that's the game. They got to win that after losing to Week 1 in the Saints to prove their clout. They're worth. They're going to win this division. They're going to compete in the NFC. You know what they did? Laid a fucking egg. You know what also happened? Brady played the worst game of his career ever. Lifetime. Worst game ever. 333 starts. He's getting blown out by 30-plus points. First time that's ever happened in his career. That's Tom Brady. He's got to take a lot more credit. He really does.
But I think I would just lean on the side of it was more of an outlier. Then they'll be totally fine this week.
That's fine.
Going against the Panthers this week, the Saints are still 6-2. The Bucs are 6-3. Granted, the Saints have been playing really well the last few games, but
here's the thing, man.
Only a half game behind them.
Here's the thing. I think they got to pay the Panthers two times as a division foe. I think the Panthers' defensive line is similar to the Bears' defensive line. Gritty, can get after the quarterback. That's the way you beat Tom Brady. They just saw the Saints do it. The Panthers, division foe. You don't think the Panthers are going to try and get after Tom Brady? People are going to say that these are going to be cakewalk games for the Tampa Bay Bucs playing the Carolina Panthers. I don't see that. Christian McCaffrey bummed up his shoulder again, of course, comes back, absolutely shreds me in fantasy after being out for 7 weeks, and now he gets hurt again. But if he can play, the Panthers can beat the Bucs. No problem. And I see that a couple more. They got the Chiefs on their schedule. They got a couple big-time games down the stretch. They could very easily fall back. If they're not winning the division, they could easily fall out. You obviously going to have them still in the playoffs. I'm still holding out hope that they could fall out. Brady could lose plenty of games and they could potentially fall out, I think. It's wild to say, but it's a thing.
The Falcons could be in ahead of them because I'd rather watch the Falcons. They're just a more fun team to watch because they'll let both teams into every single game. Bucks threw up a dud the other night and have killed some other teams. But no, I think they'll be fine and end up getting in there, even if they don't win the division. I said at the beginning of the season, Saints win the division, Bucks get into the playoffs, though, and that's what I still think happens.
Yep, that's definitely a possibility. Last night was kind of, I don't even know where to go. I hear a lot of people saying today that the Patriots saved their season. For what? How did they save their season? They're 3-5. The Bills are 7-2, and the Dolphins, way better than the Patriots, 5-3. The Patriots did nothing. The only thing the Patriots did last night was save the fact that they didn't lose a game to the fucking sorry-ass Jets. The New York Jets, the worst fucking team in the football team that in the football league. That's the only thing the Patriots did for themselves last night was save themselves from that humiliation. Because in my opinion, the Patriots might be, if not before the Dallas Cowboys, the second or third worst football team in this league. And they squeak out a win in which they're losing at halftime to the Jets. They're down 14 in the fourth quarter. And here's the thing, dude. In the fourth quarter, I don't know if the Jets are trying to lose games on purpose. They could very easily be doing that. I have no fucking idea. But Joe Flacco, they had 4 plays in the fourth quarter for 3 yards. The New York Jets. That was the fourth quarter that the New York Jets put together on the offensive side of the ball. The whole defense was on the field the entire second half. After, in the first half, the Jets were winning the football game. All you had to do is do anything on the offensive side of the ball. You could potentially win the game. Just do anything. Get a first down. Couldn't even do that. But what they did was Joe Flacco just hums up a punt. I mean, that wasn't even a throw. He's literally just throwing it to get intercepted. That was one of the first things in the fourth quarter to the Patriots' comeback, to which everyone's saying, oh, the Patriots saved their season, I mind you. That's fucking laughable. The Patriots suck, dude. The Patriots should have lost this game. Cam Newton is not good. And that's pretty much the only thing they have is Cam Newton hucking to Jacoby Myers. Maybe they got a gem out of that. But other than that, Patriots roster is not great. You got tons of opt-outs on the defensive side of the ball. I've covered it many times. You had four defensive starters sitting out last night. You should have lost the game to the New York Jets. The only reason you didn't is because you were playing the New York Jets, who don't even want to win games and want to tank for Trevor.
I didn't.
The Patriots are screwed, man. It's going to be, I got the Bills winning this division, no doubt, after a big-time win up against the Seahawks. I mean, that was big-time clout for the Bills fans, Bills Mafia, Josh Allen, MVP. Got to shout him out after going out there, after losing his grandma, fucking hucking for 400 yards, three touchdowns, and a rushing touchdown, just shitting on the Seahawks. So you got to give him some clout, man. The Bills are performing to some of these expectations we had for them in the beginning of the season. Patriots aren't even close, because two a time is way better than what's going on in New England right now. And
yeah,
I think if you're talking about the Patriots saving their season, to me that's outrageous. There's no way they're making the playoffs. Absolutely no chance.
No, I don't. We thought that going in that there was no chance. Like, it would have taken some miraculous comeback. And, like, I agree with you. Cam's not great right now, but he also was still probably by far the best football player on both sides of the field last night for either team. Like, there wasn't a better football player out there, and he's still, like, way under what he should be. But that's more saying how bad those two teams are right now. No, I don't think there's any shot they make the playoffs. Dolphins, way better shot. Two games ahead of them right now. Tua's looked decent, but they've looked pretty good on defense. They've been good all around. So Dolphins looking really good. They're ahead of their.
So that was a big time win for Tua up against Kyler Murray. That was a crazy game. Kyler Murray is unreal. I mean, he's putting together a season that, in my opinion, is also should have him up there in the MVP category with the things he's doing, rushing the ball and throwing the ball for a Cardinals team. But Tua won the game, man, and the Dolphins, I gotta give a lot of credit to the Dolphins, man, because everyone was shitting on Ryan. I liked him going with Tua, but everyone was saying, oh, man, why are you taking out Ryan Fitzpatrick? Bro, this is why you're taking him out, because you drafted this guy to be the franchise, and he's healthy to be the franchise. Dude, the Dolphins have a better chance to make the playoffs than the Patriots. I don't want to hear anything about the Patriots having a chance.
Two-game lead and better overall team. The only other thing I'll say is on your boy Josh Allen, definitely great performance. The only thing is I'd still say after a few rough ones, need to see it going forward, because every single opposing quarterback has a good performance playing the Seahawks. And that's not to undermine 400 yards. It was an incredible game, and they got the win. Other teams have not been getting the win, so props to him on that. But got to see it against some other teams that have at least a reasonable defense to say that they're really elite. But either way, they're going to win that division.
So here's why I'm glad you brought that up, because I did want to touch on that quick. That bell's going to go off, but I'm going to touch on it. Seattle, I'm worried about for sure because of their defense. Their defense is atrocious. They are allowing 397 yards a game to opposing quarterbacks. Four out of eight that they've played have gotten 400 plus. Cam Newton had got 397 on the Seahawks. So they're going to have some issues, I think, winning games down the stretch because of the defense. And yeah, I completely agree that any defense or any offense have been shattering, any quarterback's been shattering the Seahawks defense. But to me, this was a game for Josh Allen, for Bills fans, to have a chance to at least say we can win a big game. They've not won any of these games in a long time, man. And to be 7-2, the talks in the AFC in terms of who's the best chance to knock off the Chiefs, I don't know if it's anybody. But if I give it to somebody, I think it's the Bills, man. I really do. I think it's the Bills that have the best chance to knock off the Chiefs out of all the teams left. Because things going on with the Steelers, I think they're not as consistent as a team when it comes to playing the Kansas City Chiefs. I'm not sold on the Ravens beating the Chiefs. And when you look at other teams in the AFC, who else is going to beat the Chiefs?
I'd probably go Steelers, and I know they just put up a gross game against the Cowboys, but they're still undefeated. And until we see another like bad game like that, I'll just chalk that up to like coming in underestimating the other team. Like, you got to imagine they're 8-0 and how bad the Cowboys are. Steelers probably thought even Tomlin himself would never say it, but probably thought they were going to win that game by like 30, 35 points or something. Like they probably thought they were going to kill him like everyone else did. So I'll give them at least the benefit of the doubt. Not that you should be undermining them, but that's probably what was happening there because they've looked really good the rest of the year. I would still take the Chiefs in that matchup, but I just think with how good their defense is and as many weapons, like they have so many good receivers. They have James Conner, Big Ben. Like I think they're probably the best equipped team, but I'd probably put the Bills right after them.
So here's the thing. Green Bay played Thursday night against a battered up San Fran. That was a long time ago, man. They won 34-17. Rodgers, Davante Adams, that combination is lethal. And they're 6-2. They're leading that division. The Bears, they've lost three straight. What did I tell you they were going to do? Lose three straight. I think it's going to be four. You know who they're playing this upcoming week, Monday Night Football? The Minnesota Vikings. You know who I think is going to come back from being absolutely atrocious in the start? The Minnesota Vikings. I think the Minnesota Vikings have a chance to make the playoffs. I think the Bears are fucked. I think the Bears lose this game. It'll be four straight now to the Minnesota Vikings this Monday night. The Bears will then be 5-5. You'll be 4-5 if you're Minnesota. I think they have a chance to come back. Green Bay, I think, will still win this division, but I think you're going to have an NFC team wild card being the Minnesota Vikings. Right now, slated for 7, but the NFL has talked about it. I've talked about this with my brother. If they can't figure everything out with COVID, they're talking about making it 8. 8 teams on both sides, 16 teams in the playoffs. That's half the teams in the NFL. I think if that's the case, Vikings definitely have a chance. But even with the expanded playoff right now, 7 teams in the NFC, I think the Vikings have a chance if they can get hot. They're looking hot right now, riding Dalvin Cook, who's been unbelievable. So that's one of my bold takes for today.
I want to agree, but I'm just looking how many. I'm like looking at the standings right now. The Vikings are 3-5, so also 3-5 is the Lions, and then the Falcons and Panthers are both 3-6, and I'd say those are all like pretty similarly talented teams. And then ahead of them still is the Niners, the Rams, Cardinals, Bears, Bucks. It's still going to be tough for them to get in there, even if half the teams make it. Their only saving grace is the NFC East and the fact that only one team will make it from there.
You better hope so.
I don't think they'd get in. If I had to pick one team with 3 wins out of those ones to get in, I'd maybe go out on a limb and pick the Panthers. They've looked really good. They're getting Christian McCaffrey back now. So if I had to pick one of those teams, maybe pick the Panthers.
Tough division there. You're talking about tough division to pick out of.
I know.
So before we get out of here, you probably got to go do your thing. I'll do a little bit of my solo on the back end, but did need to give a tribute. Are you a big Jeopardy guy? I'm not, but I have to give you a tribute to Alex.
I watched it like, I don't know. My parents would have it on, so I'd watch it a good bit as a kid. Like, loved the song, Alex Trebek Was the Man.
Literally. Well, this dude's been doing it for 37 years. He passed away at the age of 80 yesterday. Obviously, a bunch of tributes to him. I mean, he's touched so many families. I was not really a big Jeopardy guy until this past year. I was watching Jeopardy with my neighbor a bunch because he was a big Jeopardy guy, and it just made me kind of, when I would be watching it, it comes on every day, same time. It's like, the whole thing kind of, I was hearing Tony Reale talk about it. Just reminds you a lot about like the Kobe Bryant thing where it's, you didn't necessarily have to meet Kobe Bryant or know Kobe Bryant or be a fan of Kobe Bryant to be touched or grieved by what happened to Kobe Bryant and his family. And obviously the man was 80 years old. He lived a long life and you can't be upset with that. I mean, he passed away from cancer. Cancer fucking sucks. Fuck cancer. But here's the thing. It still fucking hurts a lot of people that don't even know this person. And you got to give this man, I mean, it's just one of the classiest game shows. When I look back at what I used to watch with my mom, I didn't watch Jeopardy with her, but I watched a lot of game shows, man. I think of like the game shows that used to be on like Family Feud and all kinds of game shows on the Game Network, which I don't even think is a thing anymore. Like the Game Show Network, is that even a thing? Like Card Sharks, Card Sharks and all kinds of shit. Yeah, like all the game shows, like, I don't even think that's a thing anymore because it's just reality TV and streaming and all that shit. But I love game shows. And to me, game shows are the shit. And Alex Trebek is the best game show host of all time, no doubt, hands out. No doubt about it. So I just had to give him a quick shout out for sure. Also, I didn't give out a shout out last week. Sean Connery, who was a James Bond classic actor for James Bond. Big James Bond guy I am, so that was a tough loss as well for the people that are James Bond fans. I mean, it's just been a series of tough losses this entire year for people personally, for this entire country. I mean, it has just been, it's been unbelievable, man. And I can't believe it's already November 10th, which is wild. Like, 2020 is almost over, which is wild. But, you know, I think things aren't gonna just miraculously just change come 2021. And I think that's what a lot of people are hoping. And I just don't know if that's gonna be the case. Just had to give those quick tributes. I don't know if you have any words on that.
Nah, that's more of the placebo effect. Like, if people feel better because something changed, and hey, if it works for you, that's great. But yeah, COVID won't go away because of that.
No, but I know this is going to be a big time week for you and I. You want to know why?
Are we playing each other?
Yeah, we are.
Wow.
And this is what I've been waiting for, being able to pod and go out on a send out, talk some shit before you go. Here's the thing. Here's what I'm a little nervous about. Here's what I'm a little nervous about.
I got my homes on bye, yeah, you motherfucker.
Here's what I'm nervous about, though. I saw that. Trust me. I look at my matchups going all the way through the year first time I get them. Here's
the
thing. Here's the thing.
I forgot, didn't look who I was going against.
You're definitely going to try and pick up a quarterback, right? Because you're not going to have Phillip Rivers going. That'd be a bad mistake for you.
I picked him up for that. He's the best one for the matchup unless a better one comes out. Maybe I'll get another one. We'll see.
All right, good. Keep that going. Hopefully I can wake up before you tomorrow. Anyways, because Ben Roethlisberger, I don't think he's going to play. And that's who I got. And he's on a COVID list right now. And even if he does play, Matt Stafford, after being on the COVID list, not practicing isolation all week, you see how he played up against the Vikings? Looked like shit. You see how Ben looked after getting a little banged up too against the Cowboys? I don't think he's going to be good. I'm fucked. But I need to beat you this week. I somehow snuck out points this week too, by the way. In a loss, which is just, I don't even know. I'm still in this with just an absolutely battered roster. Here's the thing. That's what fantasy is this year. An absolute fucking shit show with two or three teams that are just absolutely stacked. Usually what it ends up being. But here's the thing, Rich. This matchup this week, not going to go in your favor, pal. Because I've been that guy that's kind of been coming out of nowhere and just smacking bitches with low scores. I think you might be putting up a low score this week, not having Pat Mahomes. So yeah, you could be in trouble, my man.
Oh, I'm in big trouble. I have no Pat Mahomes. I mean, Bucker's just a kicker, but one of the more consistent kickers, so he'll be out too. Metcalf, tough matchup against the Rams. Derrick Henry, real tough matchup against the Colts. Hopefully Juju has a few touchdowns against Cincinnati, but if Big Ben's not playing, that's not looking great. It's gonna be a real tough week for me. I have two defenses. I got to offload one of them on these waiver wire pickups, but neither one in a great spot this week either. So it's going to be an ugly week for me, I think.
Peace, dude. Have fun losing to me.
We'll see. We'll see how it goes.
Have fun losing to me, pal.
I was just looking, though. Quarterback market's bare. I might start Phillip Rivers against Tennessee. Tennessee's been getting fucked up through the air. I mean, there's other guys out there. I mean, not Foles. That's not what I meant. Derek Carr or Wentz. Really the only two, but I might just stick with Rivers or go one of those two. I'm sure you'll be going for one of those two.
I'm not telling you who I'm going for. You're getting fucked.
I'm not.
You're getting fucked. I'm about to beat the shit out of you this week.
I'll have to look at some more stuff.
Oh, this is going to be, come on, man. You better put all your eggs in your basket, bro. This is a big time matchup. This is me versus you.
Oh, I know. The other tough part is I can't even make any moves right now. I have three dudes on my IR, and two of them aren't IR eligible anymore, so I got to see where they end up. But I'm not going crazy. I'm in a good spot. I went 2-2 last week. I'm still sitting first in this league. If I get bye week sniped by you, I'll still be okay. What I'm not going to do is drop key members of my guys to try and go or key members of my team to go absolutely nuts. Like, I'm not dropping Bucker. I'm going to have two kickers on my roster this week, not dropping one of the top kickers just for – to try and get a few more points one week.
All right, man. I'm just gonna have to take you down this week, and we'll see if I meet you in the playoffs, in which case you might have to get upset by me. Who knows?
The cool thing is, I'm convinced I could get – my team could throw up a bunch of fours, and DK Metcalf could still come in and put up like a 44-piece in any game. So
yeah,
we'll see.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah, so that'll be it with that. Hopefully we'll link up again and talk about the matchup and some of the moves in the NBA next week, and I'll try and link up with you with the sticks. That was fire last night. Caught some mad dubs.
Yeah, I'll be on tonight. Had to get off to eat last night, but I'll be on.
All right, I'll see you in a little bit then.
Peace, bro.
Peace, kid. Richie Hot Takes. Let's see. I got a new setup. This is ridiculous. I do have to take a quick break. Be right back on the Seggy Station. Hey, what's going on, everybody? Welcome back. The Seggy Station is brought to you by Callie's Love. A man's best friend is his dog. Shout out to Rescue Month to many, but a lifesaver companion to me. To me, nothing promotes true home happiness in a household better than a loving companion of a pet. Especially at a time like this, get yourself a lovable pet friend like mine at your local animal shelter, pound, and nursery. Save their life and they just might save yours. Now it's time for your Sports Center update. Michigan State head coach, NCAA, Tom Izzo, has tested positive for the coronavirus. Good luck keeping up with the amount of positive tests in not only the NFL, NCAA, LSU, Bama up in the air this weekend. Wisconsin plans to return to play this week as Auburn pauses all workouts today. Texas A&M also up in the air as Big Ben, along with four Steelers, were added to the COVID-19 reserve list in the NFL. White Sox manager Tony La Russa charged with a DUI back in February after being hired as the manager earlier this week. We'll have some questions to answer in regards to that. The Pac-12 cancels Arizona and Utah. 10 FBS games canceled or postponed this past weekend. Talked about that a little bit with Rich. Manfred has come out and said no punishment for Dodgers third baseman Justin Turner. We're about to get into that here in a second. Alex Cora hired as Red Sox manager after his one-year ban for cheating. Vikings are down three cornerbacks. No Stafford with the Lions positive test. However, he was able to play, did get hurt. Packers linebacker did test positive after the Thursday night game. Reports are Mitch Trubisky won't need shoulder surgery after injuring himself via practice. Sergio Garcia, 2017 Masters champion, 84 consecutive major starts, which is the longest active streak on the PGA Tour. He has tested positive for COVID-19. He will have to miss this upcoming event, the Masters, this week. Pumped. Masters week, baby. Mandatory testing at Notre Dame after their win Saturday versus Clemson. We all know what happened with them rushing the field. As 49ers placed four players on the COVID-19 list for their game. They're already without Jimmy G and Kittle. I think the Niners are absolutely screwed the rest of this season. Tough division. Looking like they're going to be in trouble. Davante Adams believes he's the best wide receiver in the game. He's been putting on a strong case for that with my man Aaron Rodgers as Coastal Carolina University, number 15 overall in the polls. As there's been fines for some NFL teams, Raiders, Pittsburgh Steelers fined over $100,000 by the team. Coach fined over $150,000. Just a unbelievable amount of fines towards the NFL teams that aren't cooperating with the protocols. As UConn pauses activities, NCAA men's after a positive test. Be able to see if they can get any college basketball going. I think what, just a couple weeks, month from now? It's going to be wild. Everything going on in college football. I just struggle to see how college basketball is going to be able to drive on through. Tuning back in. Nick Seglin here. You're listening to Seggy Station Podcast. Appreciate all the love and support everybody's been giving to the podcast. You can always follow along on my Instagram page at Seggy Station. Keep up with what we're talking about on the podcast, or you can always listen to and view, follow the pod on my Twitch stream. It's _Seggy_G. Got to get into a few things solo before I get out of here today. Going to mainly start out with the New York Giants. That's going to be extremely important to talk about because, yeah, we win a game, right? We win up against the Washington football team. Sweet. You know, two wins. Awesome. Daniel didn't have a turnover. It's only the second game in his career he didn't have a turnover. It's both against the Washington football team. And at this point, we can apparently only beat the Washington football team because we should have beat the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, a team that's been vulnerable, and we were right in that game the entire game, and Daniel has a couple mistakes, bad balls, turnovers, reasons why we lost most of our games this year. Going back to week one, up against an 8-0 Pittsburgh Steelers team that is currently the last undefeated in the league, Giants had a chance to win that football game. Key turnover by Daniel in the red zone. Most turnovers in the red zone by quarterback Daniel. And here's the thing, man. We're not playing the Washington football team every week. This week, we're playing the Philadelphia Eagles, a team that is currently leading our division. 3-4-1 is their record. 3-4-1, I'm almost certain, is their record. Let me just confirm so I don't botch everything here. I'm pretty sure they're 3-4-1. They are. They're leading their division. They have a better chance than the Pittsburgh Steelers, i.e. the Philadelphia Eagles, to win their division than the Pittsburgh Steelers. Do the Philadelphia Eagles have a better chance? But just like in that first game, Evan Engram catching balls in that Washington game off his fingertips. If you could have just done that against the Eagles, we would have won against them. And we would be leading this division. Something I go back, way back, basically calling out, we're going to win this division this year. We still have a chance, somehow. I'm not saying we're going to do it. Because I am just so worried and sick of Daniel. Our defense are just incredible out the roof. Shout out Logan Ryan, by the way, who gets a game-winning interception. And his wife, who had to have a baby that was, I don't even know, malfunctioned, lost the baby. She almost lost her life, saved by the training staff. I mean, this stuff is just crazy in 2020. It doesn't get any worse than that. I mean, the defense, literally just keeping us in games, even in that game. You almost lose a game to Alex Smith coming in off the bench, 778 days without a touchdown pass, actually looking like Joe Montana out there. I mean, this is the type of stuff with the New York Giants, man. Giving up dink and dunks when it matters, but crucial defense at other points. Not all games against Alex Smith. We're playing the Philadelphia Eagles this week, and this is a do-or-die game. I mean, this is literally, if the last one wasn't with them, this one certainly is. We have no shot at doing anything if we don't win this game. And we could shake everything up if we do. We are right there. We could have beat the Bucs. We could be right there, man. And it, to me, it's of course, Saquon's out. Wayne Gallman hasn't been doing too bad. To me, this is on Daniel, man. This is on Daniel. And, you know, we're just losing draft position by each win we get. So if we're going to get wins, man, I want to compete. I want to win the division. I want to compete, man. There's no way I just want to get wins for just wins. I don't want to win because we're playing the Washington football team. I want to beat better teams than that. And everyone's saying that the Washington football team, pretty god darn good defense and whatever, then fine. Let's beat a real team then. Let's finish off the books. Let's beat one of these other division foes that we have, not get roasted at the end of the game by Carson Wentz on a spectacular lucky catch from some fucking guy that's a third string. Let's not let Andy Dalton become the second coming of fucking Joe Montana, have the best fuck game of his life and win the game on two deep throws at the end of the game. Let's not let that stuff happen. We'd be leading the division. I mean, there's no ifs, ands, or buts around that. And you know, it's funny, man. I like Skip Bayless, right? Skip Bayless, I listen to him a little bit. I'll check out his tweets sometimes. Like, what's he saying about that Cowboys game last night? Like, oh, we should have won the game, right? Yeah, dude, we should have beat you too. So, like, what comes around goes around. You didn't win the game. You lost the game. Yeah, you probably should have won up against the Steelers that were vulnerable and taking you for granted yesterday. One of the worst teams in the league, Dallas Cowboys. Had a chance to win a game. Huge upset. But you didn't. And that's happened to the New York Giants a few times. So I'm not making any excuses. We need to win more of these games to have a chance to even compete. Everyone says we're right there. We're so close. We're a better team than people is. Then fucking prove it, man. And if it's Daniel that's the problem, then Daniel needs to step his damn game up. Because he's progressed, in my opinion, or regressed, in my opinion, way more than he's progressed this season. And that is something I did not predict. I was certainly wrong with that. And he's kind of screwed me over on that. He's got a chance to right his wrong a little bit with these last seven or eight games, whatever it is, seven games. And just go out there and play a little better. Stop turning the fucking ball over. Stop happy-feeting around in the pocket and just go down or throw it away. And maybe we would win these games if you weren't turning it over at the worst possible times. There's a chance, though. Big-time game this week. Giants-Eagles. It's going down for the division, basically. And like I mentioned, the Pittsburgh Steelers literally have a least chance to win their division than the Philadelphia Eagles. A 3-4-1 team up against the last undefeated team, 8-0. That's absolutely crazy. That's absolutely crazy. A couple more games I need to touch on. Let me just get this bell keyed up. A little bit of a recap rundown through week 9. Falcons, they win 34-27 over the Broncos, which come back in the game, but they weren't. It wasn't a close game. This is what I hate about football sometimes, too, especially fantasy football. Teams getting close, getting points in fantasy, or teams making the score closer when the score wasn't representative of how the game was played. You're scoring on the last minute of the game when you got no one really giving a fuck about you scoring because you're up by double-digit touchdowns, points, whatever it is. Ridiculous, man. And the Falcons, they're winning some games. If they didn't have such a tough start to the season, who knows where they'd be in that tight division. Talked about the Buffalo Bills, 44-34, 7-2 now. Big win over the Seattle Seahawks. Yeah, everyone knows Seattle Seahawks have one of the worst defenses in this NFL in the past decade. I mean, some of the numbers on this defense are absolutely atrocious, and I think that's something to be skeptical of going forward for a team that obviously has some offensive firepower and a potential MVP candidate. But I think the Seattle Seahawks are in trouble. This is a tough division. This is a tough side of the conference, NFC conference. And I think Seattle cannot be allowing 40 points a game, 400 yards to any quarterback, especially these big-time quarterbacks in the NFC, even Tom Brady. You can't be doing that. You can't be allowing that much on the defensive side of the ball. And that's what the Seahawks are doing. And regardless of that, Josh Allen, he absolutely balled out. The Bills actually proved they're here for a reason. They're here to potentially win this division. They're here to potentially compete in the AFC. And I do believe the Bills have the best chance to compete up against the Kansas City Chiefs in the AFC. I don't see any other teams that do. You got to have a quarterback that can make some plays out of the pocket, Josh Allen, that can run, make some plays on the run, Josh Allen, that can have some deep dart throws, big arm, Josh Allen, right up there in arm with Pat Mahomes. It's going to come down to defensive plays and running game. And to me, Pittsburgh Steelers don't have they have a little bit better defense than the Bills, but that's it. I would say the Bills have a better offense. I think Stephon Diggs is definitely coming into his own. He's leading the league in receiving right now, receiving yards, Stephon Diggs. You got to give a big shout-out to the Bills. Another game, 24-17, Tennessee Titans now 6-2 over the Chicago Bears, capping off that three-game losing streak for me on my prediction. I think it's about to be four. I think it's about to be for the Chicago Bears. I think the Chicago Bears are absolutely and utterly toast, ruined. Nick Foles' experiment, Matt Nagy, offensive guru, toast, failure. Mitch Trubisky, he gets absolutely thrown to the side, and I think he's a better quarterback than Nick Foles. And I think Nick Foles went and took the Bears from what they thought was going to be the promised land to the failure land. And they lose the game 24-17, but it wasn't even, they were down the whole game. They were down 24-0. They were down 21-0. Whatever it was, they weren't in that game until the garbage time. And the score doesn't predicament that. 24-10, though. Here's a game I need to get into, reset on the bell. Because the Ravens, man, what are the Ravens? Are the Ravens for real or are they not? Because I don't think the Ravens are a team that could beat the Kansas City Chiefs in the AFC. And they beat the Indianapolis Colts where it's like, damn, dude, Phillip Rivers, like, first of all, that interception, that was not an interception. That's ridiculous. The NFL, some of the stuff that happens with that in the NFL is out of control. That was not an interception. That was big time play in that game. Mid-third quarter, still a close game at that time. Absolutely swung the game. Tough loss for Phillip Rivers and the Indianapolis Colts that obviously have a great defense. And if he can just not turn the ball over and look like a fucking decrepit playing the quarterback position and absolutely wash out of his mind, they win games. But three games thus far, three losses, he's literally looked like the worst quarterback in the NFL, Phillip Rivers. Like, so beyond washed that he should not be on the field. And look at him trying to make that tackle on the pick yesterday. I mean, what is that, dude? Like, you could have given a little better effort than that if you're going to be a franchise-caliber guy trying to step in for a 1 year, a veteran guy trying to lead your team to a Super Bowl. You're making tackles like that after your pick? Like, damn, dude. That's tough. And now with the Tennessee Titans winning, that division is all up in the air again. Titans, Colts, battling it out. That's going to be one of the ones where the projections could be a little bit off for me. Vegas Raiders, they get another big win, 5-3. I think they have a chance also to make the playoffs, something I predicted in the beginning of the season. 31-26, another heartbreaker for the LA Chargers. Justin Herbert is the real deal. Absolutely not the reason the LA Chargers are losing close games, tough games. It's not the quarterback. Justin Herbert is unbelievable. It is everything else with the Chargers. They're just jinxed, man. They're worse than the Falcons. They got six losses, all of them less by 3 points. 24-19, That was the Pittsburgh Steelers. First time in franchise history that the Pittsburgh Steelers are 8-0. First time in franchise history that the New York Jets are 0-9. Both those things happening at the same time with a phenomenal 34-31 game in the afternoon slate. 2-a-time, 2-0 in his career NFL starts. 5-3 in the Miami Dolphins. Right up in there in the AFC's conversations. And then the absolute shellacking 38-3. Tampa Bay, down in Tampa, getting absolutely annihilated by the Saints. And that was tough, looking at him on the sideline, looking like he's about to cry. It's tough, man. I expected this, man, and I don't think it's going to get any better. This man, Tom Brady, is going to have no excuses when he gets absolutely wiped out come playoff time. It is Masters week. It is Masters week this week. Good time for the golf community. I, PJ Golf Professional, proud PJ Golf Professional. Never been to Augusta National. Hope to do that one day. It's definitely on the bucket list. But this is the one. I'm not, as you know, I'm a PJ Golf Professional. This guy watches mad golf. I mean, yeah, we got golf on in the golf shop sometimes. I enjoy watching golf, but not as much as I enjoy watching the match. The one tournament that I will watch through and through, all the way, is the Masters. I love the Masters. Everything about the Masters gives me, I don't know what, goosebumps, chills, everything. I mean, it's the best golf tournament on the planet. They're playing it this year, 7-month delay, over what I heard was 500 and something days since our defending champion, Tiger Woods, 2019 Masters champion, won the Masters. The course is going to be absolutely immaculate. It's going to be the same conditions, same course, same everything, just a little bit different colors. Obviously, lighting in terms of how much sunlight they'll have will be a little different. I think course conditions will be fairly similar. Course setup will obviously be similar in terms of what the Masters provides to the avid golf fan or just the golf tournament. And there's, I would say, tons of guys that have a chance to win this tournament with everything up in the air, with a U.S. Open being just a couple weeks ago. I mean, the tournament schedule is just absolutely out of whack. It's tough to keep up with the PGA Tour. Obviously, Tiger hasn't been playing his best golf, but he knows how to play this tournament. I'm not expecting Tiger to go out there and win, but I'm sure rooting for it. My sleeper, my dark horse, Xander Schauffele. I think he has a chance to win this golf tournament. That'd be absolutely sweet to see Xander Schauffele come out and win the Masters. Bryson DeChambeau, if I had Raj on here, I think would be his pick. A lot of up and coming, watching the PGA Tour picks right now. Bryson DeChambeau, favorite in a lot of people's eyes to win this Masters. And then there's guys that you can't take for granted. Rory McIlroy, guys that have won this tournament before. Bubba Watson, Phil Mickelson, I think will be there playing. Adam Scott. I mean, there's plenty of guys that can go up there and win this tournament. You don't see a lot of first-time Masters winners out here. It's very rare to see that. And, you know, it's sad, too, to see where we're at with now surge testing positive and not being able to play in this Masters. And Sergio Garcia, one of my favorite golfers, I got his autograph. I think he's just a guy that not a lot of people like, which is, I don't know. I don't know why people don't like him, but I do. And I love his swing. I'm sad he's not going to be there. 2017 Masters champion. That's tough. And with Masters going on so late, November, usually in the spring, obviously with everything going on with this unprecedented time with COVID, it's difficult. It's a difficult time for a lot of people. And right now, all you can really do is find certain things to keep your joy up, keep the positive vibes up, and having the Masters tournament on this week will definitely be able to do that for me. I mean, just being able to know the Masters wasn't canceled this year, they still got it in, even though some guys aren't able to play in it. Joaquin Niemann, another guy, young guy, up-and-coming guy, test positive, had to withdraw from the virus, or from the tournament because of the virus. It's tough, but that's just the life we're living right now. People having to still do stuff and test positive, and when you do, you got to sit out. And God forbid, people with underlying conditions or elderly or schools don't have outbreaks. I mean, that's just where I think we should be at. And I'm not seeing enough of that. I'm seeing Notre Dame campus, you know, rush the field. I'm seeing NFL and NBA talk about filling the stands and getting fans in there as quick as possible. And all along, you see people testing positive. You know, they're starting to allow more. They're not going to be any spectators at Augusta, but they are starting to allow more spectators at the events for the PGA Tour. And all of a sudden, you got guys a little bit more, after the PGA Tour is very clean with positive tests, popping up a little more with positive tests. I don't know how I can't stress enough. Not that I'm not a fan of sports too and watch sports as a fan at actual contests in arenas. I've been to a football game, basketball game. I've been to a golf tournament. I've been to events, baseball games, all that. But right now is not the time. Like, large gatherings, not the time. Going to a concert, been to concerts. Going to a concert right now, probably not the smart move. Just not a thing that should be going on. And somehow, some of that shit's still going on. Packed stadiums, concerts, whatever. I don't get that. I genuinely don't get that. But I do get that they got to have the Masters, man. First round Thursday, ESPN, bonus coverage, 1 o'clock. You can catch it Thursday and Friday, ESPN, first and second round. Then, obviously, the weekend, it switches over to CBS, I believe. Should be a phenomenal golf tournament. All you golf fans, hopefully, enjoy it. Definitely got to get in some Week 10 picks. Thursday night game, Indianapolis Colts, Tennessee Titans. Just talked about how that division is between those two teams, and that's going to be a big-time game. Quick turnaround for both. Tennessee, obviously, after a really good start, 5-0, got bumped back a couple bit. They bounced back. I think the Colts need this game big time to stay in this division. I'm picking the Colts in this game. I know Rich might have to start Phillip Rivers. I think Phillip Rivers is going to have to obviously have a big game. This is going to be a gritty division type of game, though. I think it'll be somewhat low scoring, and I think Colts come up on top. Cleveland coming back. Who knows what's going on with Baker Mayfield? Coming off a bye, COVID-19 list. OBJ obviously done for the year. I don't think Cleveland is better without OBJ. I think the Raiders now take, in my opinion, what was the Browns' wild card spot, in which I had the Browns in the wild card. They still have a chance to do so. That's going to lie on Baker Mayfield. I'm not so sure if he's able to play. They can even beat the Houston Texans, or a team that obviously doesn't have a great record, but they got a guy in Deshaun Watson that can beat anybody, in my opinion. That's going to be a tough game for the Browns. I wouldn't be surprised them losing that. Giants, Philadelphia, already talked about that being a big-time game. Cincinnati at Pittsburgh, that is going to be interesting because, in my opinion, Joey Burrow, he's been outperforming everybody's expectations, including mine, and they got them twice on the back end, the Steelers. If they're going to lose a game, it could be to Joe Burrow, who's just been absolutely slashing people this year as a rookie in this league. If you don't have Big Ben, because now he's on the COVID list, who knows? Who knows how that game goes if you got to start Mason Rudolph? That could be the end to the undefeated season for the Pittsburgh Steelers, them having to play the Cincinnati Bengals. We'll see. Tampa Bay at Carolina is no cakewalk, man, for the Tampa Bay Bucs, coming off an embarrassing loss. If Christian McCaffrey can play in this game, I would not be surprised of them winning this game. You're going to have the New England Patriots at Baltimore on Sunday, or Baltimore at the New England Patriots, I'm sorry, on Sunday night. That'll be a game for Baltimore to maintain their chokehold on being a top three team in the AFC. Talked about the Monday night game being a big time game for Minnesota at Chicago. If this is a loss for Chicago, they will be now losers of four straight. I think absolutely in turmoil. Minnesota will be on the up in this division. And the up and come in this division with the Packers obviously still leading it. I still think it's possible for that to be a thing, though. I still think it is highly possible for the Vikings to make the playoffs in this division. The Bears absolutely sliding. Talked about Baltimore at the Patriots. The Patriots win a game last night, avoiding their fifth straight loss to the New York Jets. Whippy about to get shellacked by the Baltimore Ravens. And I think the Niners, talked about it in my read a little bit. I think the Niners are in trouble. Jimmy G looking like he's going to be done for the year. George Kittle out for the year. They're playing the Saints this week, coming off a big-time win, obviously, against the Bucs. They're going to maintain that momentum. And then I see two other big games in the late window. Obviously, the Jets at Miami, that's a big game for Miami, but I think Miami takes care of their business with the way they've been playing, the way Tua's been playing. He'll maintain the way he's been playing. Vegas will need to win that game at the Denver Broncos this week to maintain their hopes of making the playoffs. Buffalo Bills at Arizona, Seattle at the LA Rams. I think Seattle's in some serious trouble because of the defense. I think Russell Wilson's sliding a bit in the MVP just because of the defense, because of how the team is performing, because of the team's record, because of how it could maintain in this division. That is not looking good for Russell Wilson. And they could very easily lose this game off a bye. The LA Rams coming off a bye, needing to maintain some clout in this division. I got the Rams in this game. And Arizona off a really tough loss. It's going to be hard to pick the Bills on the road. And this is going to be a big-time game, I think, again, for the Buffalo Bills, trying to prove they can go and now win a road game, a team that's hot. Arizona coming off a really tough loss, short field goal. How do you leave that short 49-yard field goal? That's unbelievable. If you're the Arizona kicker, that fucking guy, Zane Gonzalez, I can't believe he did that to Kyler Murray. I would have loved to see that game go to overtime and see a Tua win it in overtime so I could talk more shit and talk about how Tua will be the best lefty quarterback we've ever seen this play or play this game all time. Kyler Murray, however, is making a strong case for being in the MVP conversation, in my opinion, this season. He is now having to play a tough game this week off a bounce back, and I think he's going to have to win that to maintain a chance to make the playoffs or compete in that division. So that's a big game for both those teams. I'm going to take the Bills in the game, though. And you know who you are. You know why. That's going to be an interesting Week 10 slate across the NFL. Hopefully they get it in. Hopefully the tests are negative. Hopefully things with the NFL maintain some of their compatibility in terms of the virus. Once again, we got Masters Week this week, which is going to be absolutely incredible for all of us golf fans. Excited to see how it shakes out. And then you got breaking news, man, where it's Alabama LSU. Number one, Alabama. Number five, Texas A&M against Tennessee. Both postponed this weekend. Tentatively rescheduled December 12th. Talked about December 12th being the date where they're trying to get these games in that are getting postponed. Well, what happens if Alabama can't play next week? Then what are you going to do? You're going to throw in another game, and now you got games and less games, and that game's getting postponed all over college, man. People testing positive all over college. And we're seeing in the NFL, the NBA is going to start up in what's going to be a little over a month and a couple weeks. The positive tests aren't going down. And I talked about it on the start of this pod, man. Like, the whole thing for me with getting a new president was, man, hopefully the new president was going to clamp down on this virus. Try and get things under control. Maintain the positive tests, the rapid spreads, the things you shouldn't be doing, large gatherings. Not socially distancing, not wearing a mask. That's the type of person I want running the country right now. Not a person saying it's a hoax, saying it's bullshit, saying get out there, open up, do whatever. And I don't know how long is this going to go by until this guy can even do that. Like Rich is telling me, man, that's a problem, dude. I was kind of hoping, like, all right, word, he's in there. Let's go. You know, get out there. No large gatherings, no fans at any of these games. Like, let's play sports. But luckily we have them. Nope. I mean, it's going to be more of this from the NCAA, just doing what they want, and then having massive outbreaks, postponement of games. College basketball right around the corner, Tom Izzo testing positive for the virus. Quote for Tom Izzo. Well, you know, I've been really diligent. I stay away from, I haven't been going to any frat parties. I haven't been doing this. I haven't been doing that. I just go to work and I go home. Well, that's what I do. Dude caught the virus. He's trying to say, that just shows you how you can be very diligent, wash your hands, be super safe, go to work, go home, and still catch the virus. I mean, if that can happen, then, dude, all bets are off, dude. And me hearing that, I'm like, damn, man, we're in some serious trouble until we get a vaccine. And you can hear all this stuff about a vaccine. Until we know that this thing works and isn't killing people, because I've been hearing that. Until I know that if I get this vaccine, I won't be getting this thing and we'll be straight in terms of the virus. Yeah, maybe. But I don't think anybody's going to be sold on that the second people are saying, oh, yeah, we got a vaccine. And that's going to impact not only people feeling that type of way, society, but the sports world as well, man. And it's going to be a long recovery. Like, even if we got a vaccine, say, next month. I mean, that's That's bold as hell. I don't think that's the case. But if we did, everybody think everything's going to be cool on a month after that? No. Dude, this is going to take years, in my opinion, getting the economy up, the sports world back up, people's, you know, livelihoods back up. Personally, I mean, this could be devastating for not only this country going forward, but the sports world. I mean, this is just so sad and depressing some days for me, man. When the Giants aren't winning games, my fantasy football team's getting fucked, I don't even know where to go. I don't have too many people to talk to. Most of my friends have either been moving or dying off. I mean, it's always bad news. Been a lot of bad news in sports. It's been tough keeping up with all the bad news in sports. But there's been a lot of good news in sports, and there's been a lot of enjoyment coming out of it. And I'm going to continue to feel the passion from it until sports are gone. I mean, that's the only thing I got, man. That's all I had for the airwaves today. Appreciate all listening, as always. And as always, I still have no shame what I had to say. It's the man with a nickname. Until next time, much love to my dude Rich Hot Takes Letty coming on today. Hopefully link up with some of the boys soon. Peace and love. Everybody stay safe. Wash your hands. Mask up. Keep your distance. Catch up next time on the Sega Station. Deuces.